into Exodus chapter 40 tonight. Exodus chapter 40 this evening. The last chapter of the book of Exodus. We're going to focus our thoughts really on the last few verses of this chapter together. And tonight, I want to preach a message simply entitled, Consecrated Unto the Lord. I want you to look with me, though, beginning in Exodus chapter 40, in verse 1. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. I'm going to jump down to verse 16. And then we're going to jump over to verse 30 and read down through verse 38. Exodus chapter 40, verse 1. It says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, On the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Verse 16 reads, Thus did Moses according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. Now go over to verse 30. It says, And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and put water there to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat. When they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near to the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hangings of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. And if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day when it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journey. Let's pray together, please, as we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening that we can come again, look into this portion of your word. We thank you, Father, that the Scriptures, as they're recorded for us, not only record events in human history, but they contain for us spiritual truth for us to learn. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would teach us and that you would help us this evening as we consider the thought, the theme of being one consecrated unto the Lord our God. So, Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for the help and strength that you'll give us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus chapter 40 tonight. Exodus chapter 40. We find Moses and the people of Israel consecrating the tabernacle. The scene that we find here in Exodus chapter 40 is a similar scene that we'll find later in Israel's history in 2 Chronicles 6 and 7 as Solomon would dedicate the temple that he built unto the Lord. From this passage tonight, I want us to understand what it means to live or to be consecrated to the Lord. And I also want us to understand what the results are when we give our life in complete consecration to Him. I think we need to consider such a theme because the Scripture makes it very clear, even as Paul stated in Romans chapter 12, based on the mercies of God, because of the wonderful salvation that He has given unto us, because He has redeemed us, He has saved us, He has called us unto Himself. Because of the mercies of God, you and I are called to present our gift to the Lord. What is the offering that He most wants? Our life. We are to present our body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto our God. God has provided for us all that we need. It is by His work, because of His love, that we have been saved. And He calls us now to give our lives consecrated unto Him. It is acceptable in His sight. And you and I must know and see and understand it's the reasonable thing to do. He has provided all for us. He deserves nothing less. The sad reality is there are many who name the name of Christ that have never yet consecrated themselves to Him. And just maybe it's because we don't fully understand what it means to consecrate our lives to the Lord. By the way, can I say this to you, that every life saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, every Christian ought to have their life consecrated to Him. Sometimes we think terms like consecration and surrender, such high and lofty terms sometimes within our minds theologically, we think that belongs only to those that God would call and place His hand upon for a special purpose. Folks, the tabernacle, to be used in the worship of the Lord, that would travel with them everywhere they went on their journeys through the wilderness, was to be consecrated to Him. Your life and my life, no matter who we are, ought to have a life consecrated to Him. As we come to Exodus chapter 40 tonight, I want you to see, first of all, with me, the essence of consecration. The essence of consecration. If you look up the word consecrate in a dictionary, you're going to find a definition like this: to make or declare sacred, to dedicate formally to a religious purpose, a solemn commitment of your life or time to some cherished purpose. God would have you and I understand that our life is to be consecrated unto Him. That it would be declared a life given over for the purpose of those things that are sacred, for those things that are of cherished purpose for us. And folks, there ought to be no greater purpose that is cherished in our lives as a Christian than to be able to serve Jesus Christ. There is no greater joy than being able to serve Him. Now, that doesn't mean that that path is easy. That doesn't mean that that path is not filled with trials, that at times our heart won't break. That doesn't mean that everything will go our way. But folks, there is no greater joy than being able to give our lives unto the Lord, who gave His life to us. Certainly all of us here tonight that have been saved and washed by the blood of the Lamb, whose sins that were scarlet have been now made whiter than snow, that have been redeemed by His precious blood, certainly all of us ought to be able to say, "My life, Lord, is Yours. Use me however You see fit." The Israelites gathered around the tabernacle. Their hearts should have cherished the one who had set them free from the bonds of Egypt. They were to come now and to rejoice in God and His goodness. And as they gathered, they did so that the tabernacle might be dedicated, to be consecrated, set apart to the worship of Jehovah God. As Solomon stood before the temple and he made his sacrifices to the Lord and he dedicated to God, I think within his mind the word of David, his father, rang within his ears. As David had instructed him in the building of the house of the Lord, his God. David had a heart to build that house for God. He longed to give God a permanent dwelling place upon the holy mount. He instructed Solomon as to how it should be. And certainly our heart tonight ought to be filled with rejoicing for what God has done. And it ought to be the desire that our life be used for Him. Consecrated. Dedicated to the Lord. What does it mean for our lives to be consecrated to Him? Exodus 40, beginning in verse 33, we find some description of the consecrated life that teaches us the essence of it. Look at verse 33 with me. It says, "And he reared up the court round about the temple, and the altar, and set up the hangings of the court gate. So Moses finished the work." Now God had come to Moses and he'd given him the instruction for the tabernacle. And folks, it's precise. He told him how to make the coverings. He told him how to do the work. He told him how to set the beams. He told him how to erect it. He told him the dimensions of those things. He told him which pieces of furniture needed to be brought within to the tabernacle, where they needed to be set, and all of those things. And Moses completed the work. He finished what God had given him to do. God told him that there would be various people giving gifts that they would be able to accomplish the work. They had made everything with their hands. They had given of their goods so that the tabernacle would be complete. Now the final pieces are put in place as God had instructed, and folks, nothing was withheld. If you and I are going to consecrate our lives to the Lord, then we must understand that we must give all things to the Lord. A life consecrated is a life where all is given to the Lord. All that He instructs is complete. We follow His instruction, we follow His word, and we do it to the absolute truth that He teaches us. And we complete what He establishes. Everything is given to Him. Folks, the people of Israel presented their possessions to the Lord, and as such, because they belonged to Him. I want to remind you something. Where did all of the things for the tabernacle come from? Where did they get the cloth for the coverings? Where did they get the gold to cover the beams? Where did they get it all from? Egypt! God plundered the people of Egypt to provide for His people and to provide for His tabernacle. Did He not? Who gave them what they had? God. Believe it or not, ready? Who gave you everything that you have? I worked hard for it. I earned every penny. Bless your soul. No, you didn't. I know that flies in our face because we look at what I've accomplished. Let me ask you a question. Who put that skill set in your life? God did. Who gave you that mind to be able to work, whether that be with computers or with numbers or with people or with things? God did. See, God said to Moses, "Listen, I'm going to tell you of certain men, and they're going to be workers of silver and workers of gold and workers of brass and workers with fine linen. I have put that wisdom within their heart. I have given them the gifts that they may use that for me." Now what we have to do is consecrate, give it all back to the Lord. As He asked. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Is it possible to give God a partial sacrifice? Could Israel give a partial sacrifice to the priest? Here's my lamb. You take the front half, and I'll take the back. You get the right side, I get the left. You say, Pastor, come on, you know that's not true. Exactly, there's no such thing. I'm bringing to you my first fruits, but I'm only giving you 8%. I'm not giving you the rest. I'm keeping some of my first fruits because I worked hard in my fields. Right? Here's my meal offering. Now I'm going to take a few scoops off the top and take that back with me. Was that considered a valid sacrifice? We were to give our all. All that God required, withholding nothing back. I am to consecrate my life, and God deserves my all. He deserves my best. God deserves more than what is left over. God deserves more than simply what we can kind of conjure up. God deserves our best. He deserves our all. He deserves everything. But folks, God doesn't take everything from you. He supplies all of your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. But what He has provided, what He has given, He asks that you consecrate that to Him. Set apart for His glory. Your life is set apart to God. Supposed to be. That means, folks, that I separate myself from certain sins. I separate myself from certain activities. There are certain things that my family just will not do. But everyone else gets to do it. But if God says no to you, then that means no, and He deserves that sacrifice. All is given to the Lord. Nothing held back. Moses and the people completed the work. They gave all that God required of them. Is there anything too great a requirement for God to make on your life? Is there? Now we would all say, no, we know it. But think that one through. Is there a request that God could make of you that would make you say, Lord, that's too much? Is there? If so, that part of your life is not consecrated to Him. I don't care if that's your finances. I don't care if that's your job. I don't care if that's your hobbies and the time that you spend on your weekends. I don't care if that's your family and your children. He deserves all from you. And Mom and Dad, I want to talk to you for a minute because I want to ask you honestly this question. Most of us at some point in time in the life of our children stood in front of a church and said something like this: we dedicate this child to the Lord. We know he's a gift from God. We want him to be used for His honor, for His glory. And we stood up and we stated that when they were little. I'll be honest with you, that's easy to do then. You can hold them kind of like that in the palm of their hand, and you can make those statements, and it's pretty simple to make. As they get older, things begin to happen. Your heart becomes intertwined with their heart. Your love for them grows. And most parents begin to think this: The greatest blessing that we could ever have is to have a little community with my family and my grandkids and all the generations that I have around me, just surrounding me. What a joy that will be. But let me ask you, is it too much if God says, I want your child's life to be used for me? Well, as long as it's in Newfoundland, that's fine. As long as I can get to them, that's fine. They need to be consecrated. That's part of your life. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know how I'd feel when I get there. Let me ask you this. What are you thinking now about their future and their direction? Have you already set it for them? Or are you opening that up for God to do with them as He pleases? See, a consecrated life means nothing is withheld from God. I want you to look at verse 34. Not only must we give our all to God, but verse 34 says we must allow God to claim all. Look at what it says. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. He claimed that place for himself, and he took all of it. A consecrated life is one that allows God to claim it all. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. When all the pieces were finally put in and everything was completed, when men gave their all, God came and He claimed it for His own. By doing so, He declared that the offering was acceptable unto Him. That which is truly consecrated to the Lord will be accepted by Him. He will lay claim to your life and mine, so He should be that He should see within us that that which He has received of us. The reality is, folks, this. God needs to lay claim of all of your life. He has given you all, and He deserves all. It's not simply that, Lord, we will come and say at one point in time, Lord, I give you all. We have to allow Him to lay that claim to our life and take all. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 reminds us that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost who is in us. We are not our own, but we are to glorify God in our body, in our spirit, which are His. Is your life His tonight? I didn't ask you if there was a time in your life where you came in front of a church and you dedicated your life to the Lord. I'm asking you tonight, is your life His? Does He have all of you? That's the question when we consider a life of consecration. The Holy Spirit of God ought to fill us. He ought to control every part of us. It's not our life to live. It is Christ living in us. I like the way Paul said it. I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead, but I live. It's not I. It's Christ living. The life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm dead. He's alive. He had His all. Does God have all of you tonight? Is He in control? Is He filling you? A consecrated life is one that must give God all, must allow God to claim all, and must be filled by His Spirit. What what a blessing it is to think that when we offer to the Lord our sacrifice, that He receives it. Folks, I don't know about you, but that's somewhat of an amazing thought to me. That God would receive the offering of my life to Him. What do I have to offer the Lord? Not a whole lot. Let's be honest with ourselves. We tend to think, Lord, I've given you so much. Lord, you're pretty blessed to have me and your family. I'm pretty gifted. Folks, we really have it all wrong. There is nothing that I have to offer God. Any good in me comes from Him. I am a poor, wretched sinner. But by His amazing grace, I've been saved. There is not a good thing in me. I have talents. There's other people that have better talents than I do. You know, there's better pastors in this world. I know for some of you that's really hard to believe. Some of you would say, amen! That's okay. But there are better preachers. There are better teachers. There are better singers. There are better piano players, but I think we have pretty good ones. But they do exist. And what I offer to the Lord, and that He accepts that, is a marvel in my sight. It marvels me that He would even save me. Because the first time I turned from Him, He should have cast me to the pit of hell, because that's what I deserved. But He saved me. And now, He says, I want to use you. Our life needs to be consecrated to Him, allowing the Spirit of God to fill us and take absolute control. This filling of the tabernacle with the glory of God was God's portion of the consecration. I believe that God wants to enter into the life of every believer in the very same way, to completely fill them, to permeate every part of their life, their actions, their thoughts, their wills, and their emotions. He longs to bless us in every way. But you and I have to be willing to allow Him the right to fill us, holding nothing back. That's the essence of consecration. I want you to see now with me the effects of consecration. The effects of consecration. Look at verse 35. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. What happens when a life is consecrated to the Lord? What are the effects? First effect I find is the removal of the flesh. Moses was not able to enter into the court. God filled that room. Folks, when God fills a life, there is no room for the flesh. Did you know that? Each and every one of us, the Bible tells us, has a battle within us that rages day by day. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. The two are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Literally, the flesh desires to put down the will of the Spirit of God. It wants control. And the Spirit wants to desire down the will of the flesh. He wants control. And there's no such thing as them sharing control. They're contrary, polar opposites one to the other. Where one fills, the other one leads. And when God fills the life, there's no room for the works of the flesh
what is produced?
The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. How do you know if your life is filled by God? Test your fruit. Works of the flesh, works of the Spirit. Love or hatred? Joy or misery? Peace or fear? Which one do you have in your life tonight? The works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit? When God filled the tabernacle and His glory abode there, there was no room for Moses to enter in. There was no room for the flesh. A consecrated life, again, is able to say, I have been crucified. My life is dead. He lives in me. All worldly, fleshly things become loss to us. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 3, I count them but dung. Why? That he might have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, that I might know him. The first effect is the flesh is removed. There is, however, another effect. Look at verse 36 and 37. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. And if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. A life consecrated to the Lord is a life that knows the leading of the Lord. When the cloud came to rest, so rested the people. When the cloud was lifted up and it moved, so the people moved. And they were guided by the Lord as He led them day by day. What a remarkable picture of the life that you and I now live. How do you want to live your life? Do you want to captain your own life? Do you want to try to navigate through the stormy seas of life to figure out which way you ought to go? Do you think that you have enough wisdom to contemplate all the things happening in our world today, to consider all that's taking place within the worlds of religion, and be able to make all the right choices and not make a mistake and bring your family to ruin? Do you have that ability in your own strength and power? No, you don't. But if we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our understanding, He promises to direct our path. Does He not? A life given to the Lord knows His leading. Psalm 32:8 says that God will guide us with His eye. He sees, He knows, He guides. God guided the people of Israel every step of the way. They knew the blessing of His direction. I want you to take your Bible just for a moment. Turn over with me to Mark chapter 1 for a moment. Mark chapter 1. Look with me, if you would, beginning in verse 9. It says, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately, verse 12, the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. In Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 12, we find both the baptism of the Lord and we find the temptation of Christ. Verse 10 tells us that the Spirit of God descends upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father declares Him acceptable. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But then verse 12 says, immediately the Spirit drove Him into the wilderness. You and I can be assured of God's leading as we yield ourselves to Him and allow us to control our lives and our desires. Now, folks, understand. Where did the Spirit take him after the baptism? He took him to the wilderness. He said, Pastor, I don't want to go in the wilderness. As long as He is with you, there's no better place to be. If God wants you in the wilderness, it's for His blessing. Remember, all things work together for good to them who love God. God is able to take all things and mold them into a beautiful masterpiece. But you and I can be assured of God's leading in our life as we consecrate ourselves to Him. Now look with me at verse 38 again of Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40, look at verse 38. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and the fire was on it by night in the sight of the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. The last result that I want you to see with me is this. There's the ability for us to witness His presence and His power. When the tabernacle was consecrated to the Lord, God came and He dwelt there. A pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And it never left them in all their journeys. They were able to see and witness His presence and His power. Every place that they went, God was with them. His presence and power was known. It was in the sight of the whole congregation. It bore witness of His presence with them, that His power would provide for them and that He would protect them. I think it's interesting to consider this fact. Your life and my life is now the temple of God. And the Spirit of God is supposed to fill this temple. And you and I are supposed to be witnesses of Him. We're supposed to let our light so shine before men. Now, whose light is really shining? It's Christ in you. Is it not? Because you're dead. And it's not you that lives, it's Christ that liveth in you. Well, we're to allow that light to be seen, to be known, to be a witness for Him. That we would be a witness of His presence and the witness of His power. That the world around us would know our God. Every place that you and I go and tread upon this earth, we take the name of Christ with us. There are those who are watching and looking on. Is it evident to them? Do they see in you the presence of God? Do they see in you the power of God? When folks look at you, what do they see? The marks of human strength, the marks of human wisdom, or the marks of Jesus Christ? That's what should be seen. In light of the mercies of God, in light of the marvelous salvation that He has given, in light of the fact that you now have a new life in Christ, abundant and free. In light of the fact that you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings and have been made to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, in light of all the marvelous love of God, in light of the fact that He loved you first, and that's why you love Him, in light of Him, how can we not say, Lord, my life, in every part, in every way, is yours? How can we not consecrate and give Him our all? How can we withhold back any portion of our lives? Folks, 99% isn't good enough. If we're holding on to any area, it's wrong. Whether that be an area of sin, whether that be an area of service, whether that be a member of our family, whether it be our career, whether it be anything, we have no right to hold any portion back from God. And how can we, in light of what He's done? In light of the mercies of God, can we not allow Him to have it all? We spoke this morning about worship. We're going to study that out. And I think there's some good thoughts for us to consider. And folks, the essence of our worship is that we exist to praise the Lord. We exist to give Him honor and glory that is due Him, that He might receive of us. How can we not let Him have the all of our church? Every ministry, every square inch of this building, everything that we possess is a gift from Almighty God. From our hymn books, to our voices, to the technology that we use, to the ministries that we possess and we run. Why is it done? It better be for the glory of Almighty God. How can we withhold anything from Him? How can we not let Him have it all? God wants our all. The blessing is this: when you and I give God our all, He in turn gives back to us the wonderful blessings and the effects. The flesh can be removed. Walk in the Spirit, and what's the verse say? You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It'll be gone. You tired of battling the flesh? If we give God our all and allow Him to fill us day by day, the works of the flesh can flee. As we give God our all, we'll know His leading. Folks, I don't know what tomorrow holds any more than you do. I don't know what the next 5 years holds for me, for you, for my family. Things change in moments of time. But God planned it all. He'll lead. He'll direct. And you and I will witness the presence of God. We'll witness the power of God. And we'll be a witness of His presence and power. Now, folks, that's a church that God is pleased with. That's a church God will bless. That's a church that God will use for His glory. That's a church that cannot be ignored as a city set upon a hill. But it starts with our all given to God in consecration. Where's your life tonight? You don't need to sit here and judge everyone else. You can sit here and say, well, I wonder if Pastor's life is all given to the Lord. That's for me to decide. That's for me to judge. Because it's my personal relationship with the Lord. It's not for me to judge and look around and say, well, I wonder if so-and-so, you know, they haven't really responded the best to this message. I bet they're not coming. That's not my job. That's for you. It's not for you to look at my family and say, well, I wonder if the Bateman kids are all right. Just like it's not my job to look at your family. Sir, that's your job as the head of your home. So be the head of your home and make sure that home is consecrated to Him. Right? It's not about everyone else around you. It's about you tonight. It's the only time I'll let it be about you. When God is dealing with us, He deserves our all. Every last bit, nothing withheld from Him. I think God sometimes brings you and I to places of a crossroad in our lives that we would say, Lord, it's all there for You. Withhold nothing from God, and you'll miss nothing in return. A life consecrated to the Lord. Let that be our goal. Let that be our heart. Let that be our desire, even as we go from this place tonight. Let's pray.